All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming, plays Delta Green, Impossible Landscapes. Ignore that previous false start we had. That did not happen.
Such fucking professionals.
We are absolute professionals. Our things are always working. And our technology is not slapdash together in a way that is barely hanging on by a thread. That is not us. That's some other podcast that you're listening to. And you should raise your standards. Anyway, my name is Joe, and I will be your handler for this operation. I'm joined by my good friends, Dace, playing Benji.
Definitely not using a decade-plus-old computer.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm also joined by Jean, playing Benedict.
Recently has moved off of a physical mic stand made out of Lego.
That's right. Has actually... That's moved away from the Lego mic stand. And of course, Brad playing Hank.
And I'm not using my girlfriend's computer that randomly connects to all her devices mid-session.
Right. So professional.
How did she take it when you asked her to turn the Bluetooth off?
She was fine.
Is she, yeah, are y'all still together?
That was it. That was it. She's in the background of Brad's screen, like packing all of her shit.
Packing her shit up.
You can keep the computer. I'm leaving.
She picks up the computer and walks out with it.
Are you sure you're good to play, man? Do you need to take care of that?
Yeah.
I would keep playing. I'd straight up keep playing. If even Maria was on the screen and you guys were fighting, I'd still keep playing.
All right. I'll hold you to that.
You're a tougher man than me.
I'd mute it way down.
just turn him off.
Mary's screaming is getting past the filter. Can you bump noise filter up?
Could you put that up a touch? That'd be great. Yeah. How are you guys doing? How are you guys doing after that last episode? After watching a bus full of people catch fire and seemingly nothing happened? How are we feeling about where we are in Impossible Landscapes?
I'm glad we finally made a fucking decision.
If we, maybe we're getting closer because crazier. Otherworldly shit keeps happening consistently.
You know,
each
I got
episode.
A theory. Speaking of that, you said last session you used the word singularity, and that got my gears a turning. I think you're probably right about that. Mm-hmm. And the closer we get, the more the worlds are colliding.
Well,
I also will throw out that I think we, as the main characters of the play, might be the singularity. Like weird shit is happening because we're there.
Mm. Well,
it's not like. The middle of Indiana was like a particular thin spot. It was a thin spot because we were in that part of Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, well, let's go back to his. Let me go to my the kill board. It was Mr. Wilde that gave that whole speech on the twin stars and the worlds. You know, the only way out is through because someone's like this gravitational pull. And the only way to get out of this is to get just close enough to whatever Carcosa or whatever it is to sling you back outside of its own orbit type thing. There's like some kind of astrological explanation to what was going on. But then
like I think it was solar eclipse.
Yeah.
Two spheres converging. The only way out is through. That moon's got to cross that sun. You know what I mean, brother?
Yeah, Mr.
I think he was actually just giving us instructions for how to pet the paper tiger. I don't think it's any of this.
You guys failed to do that.
But then, to your point about us being the singularity, I did have that theory forever ago that one of us is the king in yellow, and it's like this big orchestrated thing, and then it's like, you find out it's like a script flip type thing. That would be hard to orchestrate in a lot.
What if I had been working with one of you this entire time?
No, that would break my trust. And break my trust. If it wasn't me, my trust.
That's so funny. We've never talked about, like, most tables would go around and talk about, like, hard red flags that they absolutely are, you know, like, triggers and shit.
Yeah, it's a thing at some tables. But... Yeah.
Oh, mine are sanity checks.
And that's John's a loss of trust. That's yours, Brad. No more sanity checks. Yeah. That's where you draw the line. Yeah. Well, how has this experience been for you? It's just straight up abuse.
But he keeps coming back because he's a sweet, sweet boy.
I don't want sanity checks or to lose a role.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jean. You're my only sweet boy.
Just before.
Sweet, sweet boy.
Joe was wrangling his dogs, and he calls one of them a sweet, sweet boy. But I decided I'm the sweet, sweet boy.
You are the sweet, sweet boy, Jean.
Thank you.
Hey,
do I get a treat? Do I get a treat?
It's in the mail.
Sorry, Dace.
When we got back from the fight with the clown, you know how all of our characters changed subtly in different ways? What happened to Benedict? How did he change?
Mirrors.
I wonder if that's why Carter said that you'd be the easiest to find.
Yeah. Joe's trying to trap me into using a mirror.
For the audio listeners, there was a great smile on my face when he said that. Because I think that'd be hilarious.
I wasn't looking at you.
And also for Dace, who's also an audio listener in many ways.
Am I on to something?
I think it's a funny idea. And you know, it is one of those fun parts about being a GM, or being a DM or handler, is hearing all of this and, you know, trying to make sure I don't give anything away. But I mean, some of these theories are like super good. Like, some of them are closer than others. But they're all good. And one of the fun things about it is just watching you kind of rifle through it. Well, like, even like in Reverberations, you know, me playing Louie, it's like I'm trying to come up with shit too. It's just it's fun. It's a huge part of, I think, especially for Delta Green, being that everything is couched in a mystery. It's not just you're gonna go and you're gonna fight the things and the story will unfold. Like, no, there's a mystery. There's a mystery, there's information that needs to be uncovered. You know, so
what do I get if I'm right?
What do you get if you're right?
Yeah, what do I get if I'm right? What do I win?
Is that how we're doing things? Do I have to reward you for every time you engage in the process of playing this game?
This is a game. You play games to win prizes.
Is that
when you go to a fair and you throw a dart at a balloon, they don't just stare at you. They give you a fucking stuffed animal.
Yes, they do. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because the balloon's made of rubber. It's never going to pop.
Yeah.
That's what this game is. Oh my god, that's my theory. This game is made of rubber and it's never gonna pop.
I'm just a shitty carny who's rigging everything against you. And even
that's
if you
how
do
it feels.
Always thought of you.
That's how it feels.
You've always thought of me as a shitty carny.
A shitty, shitty carny. Joseph shitty carny box.
Yeah, I'm all the worst parts of a carnival. Yeah.
Speaking of clowns.
How dare you?
Brad wants to move.
How fucking dare you? No, I actually, it's like talking about carnivals, because it's about to be carnival season here again. Like, we're kind of getting to that spot.
That's a season?
Well, I mean, they do in the summers, right? You know, it's like a summer thing. Like state fairs and like those traveling carnivals. Something that they have up here that the second you said something about carnivals reminded me of. So in the South, we always have funnel cake. Like that's the deep fried carnival dish that everyone has when you go to like a state fair or a carnival or something in the South. Up here they do something similar, which is also a fried dough product, but it's called an elephant ear. And instead of it being like a funnel cake is all like a, you know, it's like all, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a weird like honeycomb kind of configuration of dough. The elephant ear is just this big flat piece of dough that's deep fried and then covered in cinnamon and sugar.
So it's basically just a deep fried pancake.
Yeah, in a way. It's like a fluffy kind of thing. And oh boy, can I not wait. Like, I'm not really big into carnivals and state fairs and stuff like that. But man, since I moved up here and went to one and had an elephant ear, I'm like, every year, I'm getting one of these. I'm going to find an excuse to go to this damn place and get a damn elephant ear.
Eat fried dough.
Nothing like a deep fried dough. Everyone here is from the south of something. Whether it's the south of America, the south of the U.S., or the south of Africa. And we all, I think, have a very good appreciation for deep fried things. Speaking of deep fried, you guys just recently got to witness a bunch of people getting deep fried live.
oh my god, you've done better, Joe. You've done better.
Also, you just entered...
What?
I thought there's going to be a question at the end of that, but no, nope. You just wanted to
I wanted
us
to talk about fried dessert. Dough and how much I love it.
All right. Good on you.
Yeah. But yeah, last time we played, guys, you guys have finally made your way to Chicago. Last time, as you were kind of, after everything you've gone through, encountering, Axel, escaping from Boston, you guys have continued to encounter more and more regularly these figures in these gas masks, trench coats, weapons, antiquated equipment that seem to be getting closer and closer. Your interactions have slowly become closer and closer. The first time you saw them was from afar. You just saw them from afar, like in the distance, I believe, when you were first at Marbus's house. You actually saw them all the way back in 1995. But it seems that they are slowly getting closer to the point where you first saw them from afar, then you saw them running down on the street chasing someone in the safe house that you were given by Malpheus. And then recently you've seen them on this patrol, and you had your closest ever encounter with them as Hank went out of the green box and encountered one of these individuals. You also heard a name, Carter. Carter, where have we heard that before? Well, again, back in 1995, when you found these mannequins that had been quote-unquote killed by these gas-masked figures. So there's something there, you know, that you guys are beginning to kind of see. And then Hank has this interaction. I mean, I don't know. Actually, Brad, I do want to ask you this. Did you think that you guys were about to get in a fucking firefight?
No, that's why I didn't draw my gun. I had some, like...
Okay.
I didn't think I thought he was going to be able to see me, but I had a suspicion, right. Like, they were, like, kind of friendlies or something like that.
Like, something else was going on.
Yeah.
Thought we were dead. I thought we were done for.
But then, even as they were leaving, Hank heard them say something about Farthington. So it seems that these guys are aware of you, but for whatever reason, didn't seem to see Hank. You guys decided to go ahead and pick up and move to Chicago. You were going to the Golden Clown Theater. Which is down this kind of line of this Victor Carell had this play, and that's where it was shown at. You guys don't really know much about the theater yet, but you're trying to find it where it is. So you're heading to Chicago to kind of chase it down. The last thing that happened is you guys made it into a hotel, an extremely seedy hotel, where you have to sign probably some type of waiver in case you catch something from sleeping in the room. Like on the way in. So you get there, and as it's a comedic scene of Hank opening the window as these two guys are talking about is it all a circle, is it a square, is it a polyhedron, you know, or whatever, as they're trying to figure out how all this stuff is relating to itself, as Hank pulls back the curtain, sees this man on fire enter laughing. Enter a bus that slowly also begins to catch fire, and the whole thing drive away, and Hank just to go and close the curtain slowly as he crits the second sanity check.
It was a little bit more dramatic, I would say. It wasn't so comedic, but for whatever reason, he did buckle down and keep his sanity.
Yeah, he did. That being said, you guys are in this room. It's late at night, and the first thing we need to do is everyone needs to hit their buttons to reset their skills.
Nice.
Everyone's getting some skills.
Level up.
Everyone's going to kind of level up their skill set. And again, like, you know, this is something I don't know for those of you who are less familiar with Delta Green. I'm going to be frank. This is not technically the rules of Delta Green. The way that Delta Green is actually set up, you're not supposed to level up your skills every time you go to sleep. It's supposed to be specifically at the end of full operations. But due to the fact that this one is so long, like, I mean, hell, Chapter 2 had 36 episodes. If we'd have waited to the end, like, it just doesn't follow. And it also kind of makes it feel like you guys don't get the opportunity to advance. And this is not Dungeons & Dragons, but it's still fun. It's still fun.
This feels to be able this to feels it. More fair, given all the death around every corner.
Yeah, I think it's an okay balance for a longer form kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, to that end, anyone who is missing health, who is that, by the way?
Yes.
Me.
So, you got Hank and Benedict, is that it? Benji's been pretty good throughout. He's definitely the craziest of everyone, and the worst on willpower, but his physical body has fared the best.
Minus the addictions, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Minus the addictions.
I'm sorry, I'm missing willpower, not HP.
Okay. So for anyone, so I guess just for Hank, go ahead and roll that your constitution test. Let's see how you do.
Success.
Okay, you get on a regular success, you get one hit point back.
Yeah.
Where does that put you?
9.
Not okay.
15.
So you're still, Hank is still like pretty significantly low.
I don't even know what this was from. I guess, is this still from the fucking clown dragon?
You got messed up by something. God, what was it? Or we may still be healing from that. You may be right. I don't remember, but
I think it's still from that, honestly.
It might be. I don't recall now. But yeah, so you guys are doing that. So anyone who... So Benji. Is Benji's insomnia repressed or not? I think his addiction's repressed. His insomnia is not.
Yeah, I have on my character sheet, sleep disorder, roll sand check. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do now for you to attempt to get a good night of sleep. So I think your substance use disorder is the one that's repressed. So go ahead and roll a sanity check. You can take a plus 20 because you have some benzos there with you.
That's healthy. Success.
A success.
48.
Okay, so you are able to sleep tonight. So everyone, I cannot find what we roll for willpower.
It's a d20
for the amount you get back. I don't think that's I see
so much confidence.
I see you. I see what you're doing. Benji's at 2 willpower, isn't he? Like,
yes, he is.
Yeah, I totally forgot, but you should have been rolling everything at a negative 20.
Jeez. Oh shit.
Yeah, once you get to at 2 and man. At 2 and 1 willpower, it's not a good place to be. That being said, everyone needs willpower. Go ahead and roll a D6. Tell us what you get.
D20.
I think Hank is full up.
Yeah.
I got a 1.
Lucky you.
Shit. 5 for Benji.
Okay.
Back in the game.
What does that put Benedict at for willpower?
6. Out of 9. 7 out of 9.
7 out of 9. Okay, you're doing all right. Benji, where are you at now? Is that
7 out of 12?
Okay. Yeah, Benji has a pretty
bad
high
that we forgot the
willpower.
I felt bad that we forgot the rule about, I mean, I'm trying to think if it would have impacted anything.
You weren't doing a lot. So, end of the day, that's on me. I'll punish you some other way later.
Sounds good.
So yeah.
Sweet boy.
Sweet boy. Sweet boy. So yeah. So you guys go to sleep in this Roach Motel.
Sorry, quick one. Yeah. Benji, I'm looking at all your rolls. Like, you failed almost every single roll you've made.
Don't you dumb in my business.
Except for maybe an occult, which you would have passed anyway, and like everything. It had zero consequence, I think.
Okay. Well, I'll rest easy at night then.
Knowing that you didn't give yourself a unnecessary kind of thing.
Knowing that the handler didn't give you a necessary
right
advantage.
I will say that as you guys are getting ready for bed, that specifically Benedict, you find yourself.
Don't say a mirror joke.
There is a mirror in the bathroom, my guy. God. Well, so you find yourself unnerved to be in the room with the mirror in it. What do you think that Benedict does to kind of manage that?
Smashes. He smashes the mirror. It is what he does. He smashes things. He is Benedict, and he smashes things, especially inanimate objects.
Okay. All right.
He will responsibly smash.
What the hell are you doing in there?
Oh.
So you're
looking at me.
You're literally going to break the mirror. Just like when you go in there, like you're going to try to brush your teeth, and you're just like, you're going to like pull it off the wall or something. Smash it.
Just fracture it.
Okay. For the audio audience, Jean pantomimed punching forward at about face level, which is where a mirror is, and I'm going to utilize that to great advantage here in this moment. You do so, and when you do, your hand hits a non-solid surface and slowly sinks into the mirror as ripples come out, and you feel that ice cold feeling.
Oh, no.
Go ahead and roll sanity check. Let's go ahead and knock that out of the way. Tell me what you'd get.
Success, 25 under 60.
Okay, you can take one sanity damage. From that.
And then he will go and rip the entire thing off of the wall now.
Yeah. You either rip it off the wall, or maybe even you pick something up beside yourself, and you know, besides touching it with your physical body. And
I hadn't actually thought of that.
And or maybe you reach up and you reach around the corner and you pull it off. And maybe that's a part of the one sanity damage, because there's nothing behind it. There's nothing there. And you tear it down, and I don't know, what does Hank and Benji think when they hear this? Maybe even Benedict even yells out, you know, like, no, you know, and then rips, and you hear the sound of breaking glass. And if either of you come to the bathroom door, he's standing there, and there's broken glass in the sink, and there's shattered mirror.
I'm okay. Don't come in.
I'm okay.
I'm just doing my beard.
What did his hand feel like? Was it still liquid like this water on the other side?
It's very similar. You have experienced this mirror thing previously, but it was ice cold. But you maybe right at the very end of your fingertips, maybe you did feel much more of a kind of lukewarm rushing of water.
It does seem to be that this madness is following us. And maybe, like Hank, in an attempt to help make Benedict feel a little better, expresses what he saw outside the window.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Did you recognize the man on fire?
It was, seemed to be out of time, so from another time of sorts, but I couldn't quite place, who he was or what was going on.
Was this plus from that. Our time?
Like I said, his outfit seemed to be old fashioned of some sense, but couldn't quite place.
But the bus?
Bus was correct. Show? Mm-hmm. Bus was correct.
The bus was from now.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Benji.
I was just saying, it reminds me of that Pink Floyd album. You know that one with that fella that's on fire?
Isn't that Wish You Were Here?
I think it's Wish You Were Here. Hey, who are you?
Sorry, I'll leave. Joe walks out in his bathroom.
Walks out of weirdos.
What's Joe doing in this shithole of a hotel? Sketchy business.
11 on the
naughty, naughty.
Don't tell me how to live my life. But yeah, you guys kind of settle in for the night. Let me roll a dice real quick. Let's roll a dice.
Benedict will probably tell them in the meantime that what he felt and the rushing of water, and that seems like we might be able to get somewhere with whatever this is that's happening to me, but I am not okay with it. I'm not ready for that. I don't care about these little poems that say we need to cross the water, that we need to drown ourselves to get through this.
I don't buy it.
I'm not buying it.
It should definitely be a last resort, that's for sure.
It is madness. It is madness, Hank. And I will not buy madness. I'll buy art, not madness.
Who is sleeping where?
Hank's sleeping on the floor.
Couch.
Buy art, not madness.
There is no couch. There's just a bed. Bed, maybe like a little chair. Hank's on the floor.
I'll do the chair.
So I guess Benji sprawls out on the bed.
In the bathtub.
In the bathtub. Sleeps on the broken glass.
Yeah, so you guys go to sleep. Benedict, it is not easy for Benedict to sleep in this chair. Maybe after being so unnerved about the bathroom, maybe even there's this this kind of floating kind of unease in him. This is 2015, but this is because it's such a crummy little hotel, they also have like a glass screened television. They don't have like a flat screen in here.
No.
So it's like
It's like this is like nightmare shit for me.
It's like it's like the old school TV, but it's got the glass screen, and even maybe with just like
rabbit
a little bit
ears.
Of light. Yeah, with the rabbit ears in the back, right? Maybe there is a it's a pretty good size one still, but like you can even see your reflection in this. And maybe at some point in time, Bennett even gets up, turns the TV around. Like, just
yeah,
like.
Definitely.
Just like,
turns make it. Sure it's unplugged.
Yeah, make sure it's unplugged.
He doesn't want it to switch on either.
There is a. And there's a bit, Benedict, where you're sitting there and you're trying to go to sleep, and you hear something. You hear something almost like a scratching sound. It's like right, kind of like right near you, and you open your eyes, and you know, I imagine you guys had the lights off, but again, like there's, you know, the curtains are pulled, but there's still kind of light, a little bit of light spilling in, and you hear the scratching, and it's coming from the bedside table.
You can Brown hear Jenkins.
What?
Brown Jenkins.
It's Brown Jenkins. Oh my god.
From H.P. Lovecraft. It's this fucked
up
rat.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Brown Jenkins.
Brown Jenkins. Oh my god. This is the scariest moment yet.
It's not even Jenkins. It's just Jenkins singular, which makes
Brown
it more unsettling.
Brown Jenkins. Yeah. But you hear this. You can hear this kind of scratching, almost popping, like electronic sound.
Is he the only one awake?
Yeah, these other two seem to be pretty well up. Like, you're kind of not very comfortable. And
Benji!
And there's a...
Benji, shut up! He's gonna scream out. Benji, stop that! Because Benji's sleeping on the bed.
I mean, that would probably wake Benji up. I assume.
I want to say it doesn't, because he's in a drug-fueled sleep. Like, it's going to be harder than that. You'd have to shake him to wake him up.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we roll? Why don't we roll to see if it wakes him up?
If you get up and make physical contact with him, I feel like you're gonna wake him up.
No. I'm just shouting on the couch right now. He's too lazy to get up.
Yeah. So, in this situation, no, I'm gonna tell you what happens. No, Benji does not wake up. Benji does not wake up whatsoever.
How dare you take away my agency?
Sorry.
And
red card.
Switch on
red
the
card. Cancel.
But yeah, so you
are there lights? He's gonna switch on the light.
There is a little light there, and you switch on, and maybe Hank kind of shifts a little bit when you turn the light on. And and the sound, this weird kind of, again, that's popping, scratching, it's coming from the phone. The phone is on, like, the ear, or what do you call that? The receiver. The receiver is sat down on the phone, and you're looking at it now, and it is a, was this a rotary phone? before? Because it's definitely a rotary phone now.
Oh, God. No, okay, no, Benedict has no patience for this. It's the middle of the night. He's going to rip it off the wall and try and smash it. Like, he's at the end of his tether. No, he's smashing it. He's ripping it out and smashing the scratchy little bug phone.
Yeah. You, okay, yeah, you pick it up. I'm not going to make you roll, and you snatch it. And the, you know, part of the wall, kind of like, you know, where the plug is, like where the outlet is, kind of like comes off with it. You know, it's not well made. It just like snaps off. And
he like stomps. He stomps it. He wants it to stop.
Okay.
He stomps the receiver.
You stomp and stomp. And this is like a heavy duty, like old school rotary telephone, right? And like, and you're stomping on it and stomping on it. Neither of these two guys stir. Like, neither one of them. Benedict is stomping on this. And as you stomp and stomp, there's probably a bit where Benedict is there and he's breathing hard, like, like just like angry, confused, you know, and the exertion of stomping on this thing. And you hear, and now you're staying there, and you hear the phone ring. Ring!
Oh, God, ring! Is it in pieces?
Ring! Ring!
No.
Ring! Ring!
No.
Ring!
No.
Ring!
He's gonna try, like, go back to the couch. Like, he's gonna, like, hold his head. Like, no, no, just sleep. No. He's going back to the couch to try and sleep.
And it's like, you cover your head, and ring, ring.
You like plug his ears.
Go ahead and make that sanity check. Why don't we knock that out? That too. It's,
thanks. Let's get the quick wins.
Yeah.
That's a good rotary phone Foley.
Yeah. I've been working on that.
That's a success.
All right. You open your eyes as you hear Benji say, you know, like, wait, what the hell? As you look, and Benji now reaches over and turns the light on as if it was never on to begin with. And you think, Benedict, maybe you were dreaming, you know? And Benji, the phone is ringing. And it's the regular phone that was there before.
And it's, is it morning now?
It's probably like 3 in the morning. It's early.
Benedict, don't answer that.
Benedict!
Benji.
Benedict, don't answer that.
Benedict, don't answer. Benji, who am I? Benji, don't answer that.
Benji hovers his hand over the phone and looks at Benedict in the eyes.
Don't do it. He gets up off the couch.
Hello?
He's going to run over. He's going to try run over and pull it out.
Okay, you hear quickly, you know, as Benedict begins to clamber up, you hear,
he's in the other room. He's in the other room.
Who is?
What? Shit, hold on. I gotta look at something. It's like, it's Caldwell. He's in the other room.
Caldwell,
yeah.
Who do I have the pleasure of addressing?
Shit, hold on, I gotta find another. I keep having to switch to find things, to find information to give you. It's Griffith! It's Griffith! It's Virgil! God damn it! He's here!
Virgil Griffith. Who do you think you're talking to, Virg?
What? What's this? This is about Bristol, right?
Bristol. You're throwing a lot of names out there.
Look.
Bristol Bay in Alaska?
Look, I don't know what happened. He lost it. He lost it the second we went in that hotel room. And, like, if I don't get out of here, if you don't hear back from me, you'll know that he got me.
Wait, are you talking about the Broad Album? That hotel?
Who told you about that?
I have a suite there.
Oh, Jesus. Listen, wherever you are right now, you can't stay there. The people around you, they're not safe. It's on you. It's on me.
what is?
Whatever the fuck this file is, whatever this stuff in it, the stuff that Mosby brought. His hands, his fucking fingerprints, his influence, it's all over this. And everywhere we see more about him, the worse it fucking gets. I think Carter and Burbach are already gone. Now I'm next.
What? Gone where?
Dead!
Into the night floors?
Dead! Fucking dead!
Oh shit. My condolences.
Thank you. That's weird.
Is Benji just like palming Benedict off at this point? Like, I'm trying to grapple.
He's like got his hand on your face, like holding you at arm's length.
Hey, do you happen to know where the entrance to the Broad Albion is?
No, you don't want to look. Look, you don't want to know that. Listen, you need to tell headquarters. You need to tell HQ. You tell them that Static is busted. You hear me? I repeat, Static protocol has failed. You understand?
Now, would that be an acronym of some sort? Static Statistical Tactician Activatory? I forgot how to spell the rest.
That's actually pretty good. But no, that's not... That was impressive for you to do right now. No, it's all about this fucking... this play, this Her Gray song, and this whole thing. It's, listen, we tracked down most of the people. I think there's only 14 people left. But, again, Caldwell, he's lost the plot, man. He's coming after me.
Oh, shit, son. Are you wearing a gas mask by any chance?
Well, I mean, we all got issued gas masks. I don't know if...
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Wait a second. Wait, shh, shh, shh.
And you hear the sound of a banging, like a door. He's like,
all right, this is it. Again, Static, out. You understand? They you gotta send more guys. Don't.
Clear as mud.
Don't look for me. And you hear the sound of a bang, and then you hear several blasts as you hear this voice scream. And you hear in the background, you hear like muffled yelling, like crazy, insane, just like blathering, as then the line goes dead.
Hmm. Well, that was interesting.
I imagine Benji hangs it up. He's like, so I guess the continental breakfast isn't happening.
So Benji relays all of that shit to Hank and Benedict. That was a lot.
Yeah. I only got little fragments.
I guess you wake Hank up.
So, could you roll sanity check for Benji for me? I'm sorry. I should have totally done that.
Sure.
Wait, what's the insanity? I take issue for this. He just had a phone call.
Is this actually sanity from violence? This is from hearing the sound of someone being gunned down.
But isn't he violence adapted at this point?
He's helpless adapted.
Oh. How do we get more adapted to violence?
By
asking for
success.
You take no
sanity damage. You get adapted by taking sanity damage but not hitting a breaking point. So if you take you take several small sanity damages, you can become immune.
I'm sure that's happened, but
adapted, right? So yeah. That's what you got.
Okay.
You said you said there was someone on the other line. Static. It's been compromised or something to that extent.
Yeah, it's been shut down. Yeah, something like that. He's thrown out a lot of names. Caldwell. I'm really bad at remembering names.
What all names were they?
Virgil.
Write those down.
Bristol. In Bristol.
Bristol.
Yes, Bristol.
Bristol.
Hmm. Does that mean anything to Hank?
He also...
outside of it.
What was Virgil's last name? He gave us both
Griffith.
His name.
I think we've heard that name before.
Caldwell. Bristol. Was that all the names? Virgil Griffiths, yes, Bristol, and Caldwell?
I think so.
He also mentioned that Mosby brought it. Like,
yes, yeah.
Like Mosby brought the infection or something.
Roll me an intelligence check. Someone.
I shall.
I'll also roll.
Intelligence, success, 49 under 70.
Then she also got success, 19 under 75.
Both of you are reminded of the file you found in the Boxer Hotel. A file that seemed to have something to do with Mosby. A file that seemed to contain bits and pieces of the King in Yellow and that had been like reassembled. Specifically, you remember that this was called the, and this was where my understanding of French, my very poor understanding of French comes in. That this file was called the, what is it? The Demu file. I really don't know how to say it. Like Deuxieme.
Oh, Dezim.
Is that Dezim?
Yeah, that's like the 12th.
So yeah.
Second.
Huh.
Second.
Sure. I'm sure someone will correct us. Please do, if you know what the hell that actually means. This file that you'd found in the Boxer Hotel, this file that seems to convert everything it touches into the King in Yellow.
He also mentioned a play, but he didn't say the King in Yellow. He said, what, the Lady in Gray or something like that?
He did say something, didn't he?
The lady singing the gray song or something like that.
Her gray song.
So, the lady singing her gray song.
Yeah, which I mean, on a. There's nothing about a song.
Can I roll an occult on that?
Ooh. Yeah, you can.
Okay. Bam! 84 and a 94.
Success. Nice.
Love it.
You have heard of something called Her Grey Song. This gets into some really specific... this is not technically like Benji's like purview as a musical historian. There are whispers of this kind of... like very much like a like an urban legend of this song, of this Broadway, this off-Broadway musical from the 50s that supposedly, like very much like a what's the horror movie where you watch the video and the girl comes out and kills you?
The Ring.
It's a very The Ring style of urban legend that you watch the play and then. And then you, like everyone who watches it, who dies. And that eventually everyone who watched it dies.
And this is a song in the play or the title of the play?
It was the title of an off-Broadway production. And this is something that, like, again, like Benji, like, heard of. And it's like, and this is very much like, again, the reason it's occultic, because it's like, it's a bit of a myth, but there's all this unnatural kind of like, it's quasi-unnatural understandings of it. It's like folklore.
This is very similar to the King in Yellow. Even
though, indeed,
and very similar to the play that you guys recently heard about,
which I just assumed was the King in Yellow, you know. But perhaps
it should be the Grey Song.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's the song or the movie that Victor Carell had. His was called Song Before Travel.
Oh, okay.
This just increases my desire to get to this Golden Clown Theater and see what we can find.
What do you think about Operation Static? It is an operation.
Can't Hank roll some kind of maybe guess history again, even though my history sucks. I'm assuming this or anything to see if this acronym means anything to him.
You can.
We don't know it's an acronym either.
We don't, but
I've got expertise in the British Empire history, but I don't think that would help much here.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, Hank did look up what's his name and found out he was in some predecessor to the CIA, presumably in the World War II era.
Okay, if you want to look something up about this and you've got this idea, it's like, okay, this got the feel of like some like what were they called, the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services or something like that, like again, these predating the FBI and the CIA kind of things. If you got this idea, if you want to roll me, I would say either, what's your criminology?
60.
60?
Yeah.
Hank, you think that you might be able to access that, or maybe even if you make a call to someone you know, you feel like you might be able to get access to some old school federal service, like history kind of stuff. You know a way to do this. Maybe there's like an archive or something like that. Maybe you could even call to your old bond, Cindy.
Hank will be like,
enlist her in this.
Yeah, he'd be like, hold on, let me make some calls. Oh.
Okay.
He phones up Cindy.
If you call her, it's in the middle of the fucking night. What's your bond with her? What level's that at?
The score?
Yeah.
3.
Strong.
What do we think for someone who's on the lam, who calls someone who they have a relationship with in the middle of the damn night and asks them to randomly look up something?
Joe,
do you think there would be a bond?
I just hope that you would answer the call. You would answer the call for me, okay? Regardless of our bond level.
I mean, the international courts haven't caught up with you yet, though, John. And that's and that's the thing. But here's the thing. Cindy probably doesn't know about that. She's in a different city. You know, stuff like that. Roll me some type of charisma, persuade, something like that.
I'll do charisma. I haven't rolled that yet, so let's see what happens.
See what you
failed. 93 over 65.
She's gonna tell you. She's like, yeah, Hank. Like, I can try to. What are you asking her about specifically? What are you asking her to track down? About Static Bristol.
I'll explain. The person that I looked up for. What's his name? Carter. What I found on him, and just see, I have this other term, you know, this code name for a mission or a group, Static, as it relates to these other individuals, and I think they're all related.
Okay. Yeah, you, okay, she's like, okay, well, Hank, like, you hear her, like, fumble for a piece of paper, she's like, groggy, she's like, I'll get it to you. I'll look into it. Jesus Christ, Hank, what time is it? I'll do this, okay? I'll do this for you. I
thank you, Cindy.
I can't do a lot more of these, but it's going to be later. I'll get this back to you.
I've greatly appreciate it.
Okay. You're off the phone with her. We're going to go ahead and skip forward. We're going to probably skip forward to the morning.
Because
I don't want to belay this. Go ahead. Quick? Yes, please.
Is there like reverse call? Is there reverse dialing? Can I do like what, star 69? Is that actually just a movie thing or is that a real
thing?
No,
that's actually real in the US.
Can I try to do that on the phone that I almost ripped out?
Yeah, you can. Of course you can.
He does it.
Of course you can call the number back.
He's like, who the fuck is phoning us at this time of night? It's ridiculous. After Hank's just had a phone call with somebody, just mumbling to himself, does like a star 69.
One moment.
Oh, these telephones these days, they're so slow.
You pick up the phone.
Yes, hello.
And you hear someone answer the phone, and they're groggy. It's like, hello? Who is this?
No, who is this?
Benedict? You hear Benji's hello? Voice.
What?
What?
But are you still there?
Benji? He looks at Benji.
Benji's just like...
And then he gives him the phone.
Benji goes, hello, Benji speaking. Who may I have the pleasure of addressing?
This is Benji.
Benji. Well, god dang it, this is Benji.
No, this is Benji.
Around about what year is it?
There is a scuffle, it sounds like, on the other side. And you hear a...
Who are you tussling with?
And you hear a blood-curdling scream, along with some pretty visceral-sounding gurgling.
Oh, crap.
And there is a moment...
What happened?
There's a moment where...
Put it on speaker.
You hear the sound of... There's no speaker. There's a moment where you hear the sound of... It sounds like multiple people all talking. And then... At the very end, someone picks it up and you can hear breathing. Heavy, muffled breathing, as if someone is breathing through a gas mask. That.
You son of a bitch, did you kill me? I'm gonna cut you back, you asshole. You hear me?
I'm waiting for you, Benjamin Potts. I'm waiting for all of you. We're all here. And we're all waiting. Click.
Where's here? And how can I get... Fuck.
why don't you two guys... Benedict can roll me a violence, and Benji can roll me an unnatural.
You guys, I think I just heard myself.
Oh, that's awful. Jeez. I regret that. I'm sorry. What do you want me to roll,
Joe? I want Sandy check for violence, and Benji just for Sandy check for unnatural. Violence.
That's a failure.
Wait, you heard yourself on the other line and then screaming and then...
Yeah, I heard Benji. I heard Benji, and I wanted to let Benji deal with Benji.
What'd Benji get?
Failure also.
You both take one sanity damage.
I'm disappointed you didn't let me roleplay with myself.
Look, we like having a good time here. It's also just a wacky thing that kind of breaks the atmosphere.
That was fucking weird. That was incredibly weird.
At this point, Hank's paranoia might be creeping back, and he's just like, maybe we should leave now.
Hmm.
Should we try the number again?
No.
Why not?
Benjamin, get yourself together. I don't feel safe in this spot anymore. Let's head.
Are we gonna leave?
Let's head for the theater.
Let's get out of here.
Early in the morning, I suppose.
Okay. As you get,
I think you're right. Let's go.
As you guys, it's like like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's very bright and early.
Benedict's not gonna sleep again.
Yeah, we're gonna say it's 0400. On the 19th of September, which is a Saturday. You guys throw all your shit in the van and you fucking leave. Or maybe you go and you park somewhere and you try to catch some little more shut eye. As you go to leave, maybe even Benji sees, maybe there is like a payphone, like an old school payphone in this rundown little seedy part of town. He sees a man standing talking in the payphone with a book open in front of him, seemingly reading from it, and you think you catch a glimpse of Timothy Bale standing there talking into the phone as he hangs up and turns and like gives you the tiniest of waves, maybe as you guys are pulling around the corner or something like that. It gets to the point where you guys...
This is like... It's like one fucking crazy thing after another now. It's just like...
This is getting so bad.
Yeah, we are truly losing it.
You guys make it, like, where do you think you guys would go? What do you think you would do as far as, like,
We know it's at a university, right? It's on a campus.
Well, are you going straight there? Are you going to try, like, are you going to try to, like, pull off somewhere and catch some Z's or something?
I think, Hank would want to push through and go straight there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially at what, at how fast this shit is happening, these... paranormal or whatever incidents are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you receive a, or yeah, so you go to where this is, you Google it, and I assume that's how you're going to find it. And as you do, you see that there is, it's hard to find because it appears that this place burned down in 2007, just a few days after the airing of the of this play that you now know the name of. You now know to be Song Before Travel.
So it wasn't on a campus. It's a standalone theater. It was just a
It's like a little indie, like indie small like venue kind of thing. And if you guys go there, you pull up and you can see that the whole place, and it's like the rest of the area seems to be kind of gentrifying. Maybe this place was once kind of an artsy place and then kind of got down and it's coming back up. And it seems that everything else around has been kind of rebuilt kind of well. And where the facade of this venue would be is just boarded up with plywood. And it looks like it's been there for quite some time. You know, there's like an old no trespassing sign. Maybe there's like a little bit of graffiti, not too much. But you can see up over the plywood, you can see the kind of facade, the front facade of this old turn of the century theater. And up at the very top, like at the kind of, you know, this kind of like quasi like Greek-y, Roman-y kind of way that a lot of these old buildings, old theaters were built. But there is a carved into the brickwork. You see the facade of a clown's face. And that over and surrounding and swirling around this clown is a swirling dragon. And you see that maybe in its day, maybe this entire figure would have been gilded in gold. As you guys pull up,
Hank
to the theater
before he gets any, he's like, "I got a really bad feeling about this," and he puts like on his chest rig. He gets his M4 flashbangs. He like suits up for.
Yeah, is this like on the street? Can we approach this at our leisure?
We're gonna say it's on the street. It's very early in the morning. There's not really a lot of people out and about. Maybe you see like a bread truck. Like the bread delivery guys are always the earliest guys out, you know. And like maybe you see like a truck.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. I thought you said it burned down.
It burned. It did not burn down, but there was a fire.
Okay.
Pardon me. So
okay.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, Hank and he has his like little fake FBI some. Form of that, his jacket on or something.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Benji follows Hank's lead and suits up. Maybe we can park the van somewhere inconspicuous.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, concealment?
There's probably an alleyway or something. You know, it's, again, it's very early in the morning. And your van, I mean, like I said, there's delivery trucks and stuff. Like, you know, civilization is starting to wake up at this time in the morning. It's a pretty big city. So you know, the van doesn't really even stand out, honestly. You're able to pull up nearby, and you think that you could probably, mosey up into this. You would probably have to, you know, it's probably not too hard. You know, yeah, maybe there was a lock on this thing to kind of keep kids and, you know, and or like homeless folks or something out at some point in time. I mean, that's been gone for a long time. It seems like this is like a, again, kind of a bit of an up and coming side of town. You know, maybe even there's a sign on this kind of plywood barricade that says like the future site of the blah 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 theater. Like maybe there's someone, maybe they're gonna rebuild it, you know, or something like that. Maybe you see that.
If no one has any objections, Hank's gonna try to one last alertness around the area check, just to look around before he tries to pry the door open and look inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benedict also will check the police scanner for anything, and then also switch on the jammer.
Success on alert on the exterior surrounding area.
I would say some very early morning delivery trucks, maybe even in the alley. Maybe there's a homeless person or something there, you know, kind of mind their own business, asleep. Doesn't appear to be, it's quiet. It's one of those. And the funny thing is, Hank, you have this, it's quiet, too quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feeling about it. So is everyone going to get fucking strapped?
Yeah, I mean, Hank's got the M4. Yeah. He's got his chest rig, light, flashbang.
Okay.
Yep.
You guys are handcuffs. Ready to go.
You're taking. Yep. I'll get the pistol back. Silence pistol.
Okay.
I'm picturing that scene in True Detective when Matthew McConaughey breaks out his old kit when he's about to infiltrate that biker gang.
Right.
And he takes a shot of whiskey while he's gearing up.
And there's there's no real reason for there to be any danger here, but just the frequency. I think Hank's just unnerved at the frequency of this crazy shit coming at them since they left Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we have every right to be paranoid as fuck right now.
Yeah.
I'd agree. Okay, it's not hard for you to find a way in. Again, this is a place that's been kind of boarded up for a while. You get the feeling there have been, some people living here, off and on, kind of camping out in the place. It's not hard for you to find a way around this kind of performative barrier, honestly. It appears to be a very much a turn of the century kind of building, and even looking up at it and looking up at this clown looking down at you, and there's even a part of you, maybe Benji, as you look up, it almost, you're like, it seems inviting. Mm-hmm. And not only does it seem inviting, it seems that it was meant for you. For you three.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys enter the Golden Clown Theater. It's a small venue. It's definitely, it's not like a grand place where there would be a lot of movie showing, stuff like that. It's like basically you enter in and you're immediately in. There's no lobby necessarily. It's just kind of, you're straight into what would have been the venue. And you see there is detritus around it. Definitely, even now, I mean, this happened in 2007, but even as you begin to move around, the second you kick up any dust, even just by walking, you can smell that smell of a building fire. All the different materials all burning, and you can really kind of see, and even as you look forward, you can see where the screen hung, where the song Before Travel was shown by Victor Carell, just about 8 years ago now. You can see again maybe some piles, or some stuff where people have slept here and things like that,
Is there evidence of anybody else been here recently?
That's going to be a check of some type. I think that's good.
Search.
Yeah, search religious. Would be good for that.
That's a success. 40 under 59.
Yeah, as you're going in, you see that there are some, looks like some pretty recent footprints, maybe, to kind of going in the same way you're coming. And they kind of lead over. Maybe there's a sleeping bag over the side. It looks like there might be someone. Looks like someone is living here temporarily. A homeless person.
Filthy vagrants.
Well, we know how Benji feels about that. But about that time, it's funny because about that time, all doubts are totally removed as a figure comes staggering in from what would be kind of the backstage area? He appears to be very much, a homeless person, mismatched clothes and whatnot. And another one, and he comes out and he's holding his eye. And you can see that there is a trickle of blood coming down. Looks like he might have been struck in the face. And you see that there is that he comes out and he kind of stumbles out and falls. And then from behind him comes out another person also who looks like, you know, they're probably homeless. But this one is wild eyed with a beard. A guy comes out and puts this guy in a headlock. And they seem to be, you seem to have walked into the middle of, I don't know, some type of territorial dispute or something. And you pick up very quickly that the person, the aggressor in this, he's shouting. He's like, look at it. You have to look at it. You have to really look at it. And they're fighting each other. And the man who with the busted eye kind of throws him off, but then also falls off this really small stage, probably only like a foot elevated, and falls into a pile of kind of partially burned old chairs. And again, the other one is just, he jumps on top of him and kind of like, he's on top of him, like fully mounted on top of him. The guy's on his back and the other Hank, one's sitting on top of him.
Okay, Hank at this point is just like, hey, break it up.
Just gonna look at Hank.
You know, he's like police.
Are you gonna intercede?
Yeah, he's got his light shined on him. He's like, please, break it up, you know.
There seems to be a moment of recognition from this man as he turns and looks into your light, kind of holds his high up, and he reaches in his pocket and pulls something out. He like reaches in his jacket and pulls something out, and it's a crumpled piece of paper, and he shoves it into the man on the ground's mouth. Like, and begins like pushing it into his mouth as the man is like struggling.
Hank will try to physically intervene, you know, and just like try to kick him off of the other dude if he can.
Okay, give me like an unarmed. You can take a 20, a plus 20 on this if your disguise not.
Because they're men?
Because they're men. And
success.
Success, yeah, Hank, you come over, or maybe, could you have your M4?
Yes.
Maybe you come out. Are you intending to do harm, or are you just trying to break this up?
No, I'm just trying to break it up.
Okay, you come over and you're able to kind of push him off, or maybe you do like a little kick him. And the guy falls off and scrambles and starts to head back towards the backstage. Like up and away. And the man on the ground turns over and begins to cough and gag as he reaches and pulls this piece of paper out. And, you know, like, and is just like trying to catch his breath.
Hank looks at the paper.
Okay, he kind of standing, or he's there on all fours. You reach down, maybe you shine your light down. It's a little bit crumpled, and you kind of use your tip, the toe of your boot, to kind of flatten it. And of course, you were not surprised to see the yellow sign. Mm. And about that time, the man stands up. He stops coughing altogether. He stands up, full height, smiles, claps you on the shoulder, and just goes to walk out of the building.
Not even a thank you.
Are we gonna let him walk out?
Hank will, and shine his light towards where the other guy walked. Is he backstage now at this point?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
We can't just let him walk out, right?
He's smiling. Okay, Benji's smiling and nodding as he goes out. He's like, yeah?
No. Who the hell are you?
Leave him. Leave him, Benji. He's an extra.
As he says that, he says, good show, guys. Good show. And he starts clapping his hands loudly.
Oh, God. Just get out of here. Get.
Go on, get.
Hank kind of walks up to the stage and says, I'll say again, please come out.
In like a theatrical tone.
Okay.
Like starting to get a little unhinged.
This time, they're from behind the stage, a figure comes out. It is not the man who went back there. It is not this homeless man in a beard. It is a man. He looks to be of Asian descent, Chinese, Vietnamese, maybe. Kind of hard to say.
Shay Twi.
His head is not Shay Twi.
It's not Shay Twi.
He comes out. His head is shaved. And he is wearing a tan both matching top and bottoms that have epaulets on them with a like red stripes on them. And he comes out. I would like you to roll an alertness for me. It's going to be a very important alertness for Hank.
Just Hank.
Just Hank.
Success. 36 under 80.
You see the knife.
Oh.
He's got a knife on him.
As he comes out, he is shouting at you in a foreign... Does Hank happen to know Chinese?
Not to my knowledge. No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Well, he'll see the knife and just kind of like... drop to one knee and point the gun at him, you know, say stop.
There is no response. This man is shrieking in this, like in Chinese or, you know, as far as you can tell, and he is running at you. You have one opportunity to do something here right now.
I mean,
what are you going to do?
Draw attention to us if you shoot.
I don't see why Hank would not shoot. Him? I would not see why Hank would not shoot at this point.
Okay.
Are we covering him, though? Were we covering?
I don't think you guys had your weapons out. It doesn't sound like it.
I don't know about that, but...
Hank will, if there's time, a warning shot before he tries to actually shoot him.
Okay. You fire out a round from your M4, maybe like slightly up or maybe slightly down. There is no perceivable effect. This individual seems intent on harming you. And because you used your, you passed your alertness, which gave you an opportunity to react. But unfortunately, you used that opportunity to attempt to warn this person. There are going to be some dice rolled here as this individual draws up on you.
Yeah, we also, I mean, at this point, we'd probably be drawing our weapons.
We'll say that you guys are ready your weapons at this point. This man, he attempts to stab at you. Luckily for Hank, his stabs are wild and frenzied as he is slashing all around. Maybe you manage to get the tip of your rifle into his chest and give him a rifle butt, you know, or a rifle tap, as you know, like, and push him back. Temporarily, he is wild. And as he comes out, he reeks, absolutely reeks of burning flesh and hair.
Jesus.
So, was this the guy that Hank saw in his vision?
The uniform looks very familiar. And Hank, you see that he is beginning to steam.
Okay, Hank shoots.
Put him down, Hank.
Firearm, I suppose.
All right. So let's go ahead and let's look at our opportunities for who goes first on things. I believe it goes Hank. Well, as it goes, Hank, Benji, and Benedict in that order. I believe is the order of your normal actions. Yes.
Okay. Hank fails.
You fail to fire. Okay, you fire. You know, 3-round burst. Blah blah blah. You know, you do not manage to make contact with this individual. Benji, your turn. What do you do? You guys are in this abandoned theater, operating by the flashlights of your rifles attached to your rifles or whatever you have, or in your hands. And this man's trying to stab Hank.
Yep. Benji's going to follow Hank's lead and unload on him. You think it's safe to say I would be using the shotgun since we like armed up before it came in?
I think that would be fair. Because who has what weapon, I suppose, is my question. This is something we probably should have asked on the way in. Sounds like Hank has the M4. You think Benji has a shotgun?
Yeah.
I've got the silence pistol.
And you've got a silence pistol. Okay.
Hilarious at this point.
Who's got the AK?
Sounds like nobody. All right. So, yeah, go ahead and roll me that firearms roll for Benji. He's going to attempt to... Who's going to rack the slide and put out some buckshot into this guy.
Very low firearms. That's a failure for
That's
you.
That's a failure. Luckily, not a critical failure. As you blast, and, you know, Benji not being super good with firearms, shot goes wide. Benedict.
I'll try to take him out with the silence pistol.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember specifically what that silence pistol was? Did you write that down?
Axel's silenced pistol, mm-hmm, with a little heart emoji next to it. I just looked it up, and it seems like it's a base range 20, 2d6, 2 armor piercing, 70 lethality, yep, 7 ammo.
So go ahead and give me that roll. What'd you get?
Okay. Can I take a plus because we were prepped?
No, you weren't that prepped. You can burn some juice.
I think I will burn some juice.
You don't get to burn the juice afterwards.
after a fumble?
After a fumble!
Ooh,
alrighty. Okay. Let's ask the section for the game. Fumbles. Love.
And this is a man, right?
It says a man, yes. Okay. I know normally that's a problem for you guys.
Because is this starting to look kind of similar? Similar interaction.
She's not cross-dressing.
Put him down and try and rip his beard off.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the section for what happens when we fumble.
So I've got gun jam or malfunction. Misfire.
So
it either gets dropped.
This pistol
discharges
is
unexpectedly.
This pistol is actually great. Like something unique, huh?
Yeah.
You have special stats for it.
Oh right, it's Axel's pistol.
It's Axel's pistol. What page were you looking at where that stuff is?
I was using an aggregator.
Oh okay. All right. Roll me a D4, please.
That's a 1.
All right. Yeah, you pull the trigger, click, nothing happens. You are going to have to spend an entire turn to get this thing working again.
Damn it, Axel.
Damn it.
I blame Axel.
If we blame Axel. Okay.
It's better than friendly fire.
It's better than friendly fire.
True.
Yes.
Better than somebody throwing a Molotov into somebody else's face.
That doesn't sound like something we would do.
Sounds like this guy is a Molotov. He's like lighting himself on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the interesting that you say that. So the smoke that is rising off him is beginning to get thick. Mm. Like it's beginning to boil off him. It's not just like, you know, like maybe you go for a long run and it's cool outside and you kind of have that steamy look to him, to you. It's like, at first it was like that. Now it's starting to, it looks like he might be starting to catch a bit.
Well, well, well.
Is he going to take an action?
Does he take an
action? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I need to actually do things. Oh, yeah, he's going to take another stab. A 98. Again, he's swinging wildly, and he is unable to connect with fucking Hank. He's stabbing here and there.
Hank, put him down.
Okay,
Hank.
Hank's gonna firearm again.
You're right there, you can't miss.
You're right. There's no way I could possibly miss this.
You're right, absolutely.
Success, 10 under 62.
Success.
Alright. I believe that the damage for that weapon
is, I have
1d12. 1d12 for an M4 for a rifle.
Right?
For an M4, I've got, yeah, d12. Go ahead, roll that d12.
3.
Yeah, you put, you shoot, you're able to kind of push him back, you know, and you're able to get a shot off into his, like, lower thigh. And there's a moment where he kind of reaches down and grabs it and holds it with his left hand, but he's frenzied as he continues to stab at you. Go ahead, Benji.
I think I'm going to try to use some strategery here and take aim. So my next turn will be at a plus 20%.
Okay. Yeah, Benji, maybe Benji crouches down, puts his rifle, puts the shotgun on the back of one of these burnt chairs. You know, he finds some of the stabilizing stuff on. Benedict, what would you like to do?
Can I switch weapons and take a shot?
You can drop that weapon, and are we going to say that you brought two pistols with you? Are we going to say that?
No, I had the stun gun with me.
Oh, okay. You're going to have to get closer to use the stun gun.
Oh, is it too far?
Like,
okay. So I had the pistol, stun gun. I think I had an M4 in my back because we were loaded up, but I think I'm going to have to just clear the jam.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, one sec. Can I clear the jam and also look around if there's anything environmental that I can use?
You can. There's nothing. To be frank, like, this place has been pretty well gutted.
All right, so I'll just clear the jam.
Okay, we're gonna take this guy's gonna take another swing at Hank, and he is doing very poorly. That's a critical failure. For this individual,
stabs himself.
Nice.
He is going to. I think he's going to. He's gonna be stabbing at you. But as he does, he begins to. He kind of, you know, there's a bit where he starts to kind of pat at himself, as you can see some small flames begin to leap up. And there's this bit where he just kind of starts, it starts with a scream, but devolves into this maniacal laughter as he begins to shriek as fire begins to leap up from his body. Because it's critical failure, I'm going to say that he stumbles back and that, Hank, you do not take any deleterious effects from being right next to this guy.
Gotcha.
And I'm also going to...
Is it actually hot?
It's very hot. It's insanely hot. And I'm going to say that anyone who attacks him gets a plus 20. All right. So, Hank.
Firearm at plus 20.
Okay.
Success. I'll roll the D12.
Right. D12.
Five,
okay. Yeah, you plug him right in the chest. Blam, blam! And he there's a moment where, again, the hand kind of goes to the chest, but this guy's got bigger problems. He's on fire, and he doesn't seem to notice, and he's screaming at you now. He's saying something, but again, it's in Chinese, you can't understand it. Benji.
Benji's gonna shoot.
You get a
with
plus 40.
Plus 40.
Yeah.
So maybe I can actually hit this time. Let's see. Success. 12 under 23.
All right.
Wait, I didn't even use the plus 40.
Yeah, I was about to say, Jesus, you sucked that bad.
Whoops.
Yeah,
you're like negative 20.
Roll 2d8, please.
Okay, 2d8. 7 total.
You blast this guy. Hank, this guy, he's screaming. He points the knife at you and says something. And then, blam, he is, like, blown off his feet almost. As he falls back into what remains of what may have been a screen or a curtain or something at one point in time, there is a creaking sound as the floor underneath him gives way and he falls down what looks like into like an understage area, with as smoke begins to boil up from this hole. Hank, you standing there, lucky to have not have been stabbed. And the thing is, this guy seems like he was going for your face the whole time. You look down to the hole and you see a few broken and slightly burning, maybe starting to catch pieces of the stage. But the man's gone.
What the fuck?
And that, Hank, my friend,
is gone.
And that, my friends, is probably a good place to stop. Is there something else you had to say here? You guys want to
finish this up.
To clarify, what do you mean by on fire?
Yes, he was on fire.
Trying to stab us.
Yes.
He's now gone.
He's gone.
After we shot
him.
Yeah. Is the extra still hanging around watching this, just like, yeah! Yeah!
No, he's gone.
Okay.
I did have one thing I wanted to do that I want to do now because I'll probably forget about it. I want to think back to the video, the VHS, and I want to look at where T-Model was and see if I see his wheelchair.
No, there's no wheelchair there.
Well, fuck me. All right.
Yeah, what does Hank think as he's standing over this hole?
Existential dread.
Yeah, go ahead and all four of you go ahead and roll your sanity checks for me real quick.
Fail.
Fail.
And fail. All across the board.
It's going to be a D4 for everybody. Everybody can take the same thing. Everybody can take 4! Yay!
I didn't
hear Yay! This. Everyone takes 4 damage! What? 4 sanity damage. Does anyone cross off breaking point?
What?
Hank does not.
I thought we would roll ourselves.
Does anyone want to deflect?
Yes, actually. Yes.
Nah, I'm just going to take it.
All right. If you're going to deflect, then roll that D4. Subtract that from your bond, your sanity damage, and your willpower.
3.
So you can deflect 3 of that sanity damage, and you need to subtract 3 willpower and 3 from a bond.
Got it.
So this is a good place for us to stop. There's going to be... go ahead, please.
And I only get 1 sanity damage.
Correct. At that point, you guys are standing here. This hole is smoking and smoldering. I imagine the other two of you walk up there and look. And no, it's funny that you asked about the extra. You hear from behind you, you hear a clapping. The clapping of a slow, methodical clapping of somebody wearing leather gloves. You turn around and you see that walking from like a side door is a man with a shotgun in the crook of his arm, clapping his hands, his eyes wild behind his gas mask. And you can't see his face, you can't see his mouth, but you can tell he is smiling. And he says, "Gotcha."
Damn.
And that, my friends, is where we're going to stop for the day.
Oh shit.
What?
Awesome.
Does he sound like the guy that I talked to on the phone?
He does.
He does?
He does. Oh yeah.
Damn.
Is Benji gonna die next session?
My friend!
Was this pre-written in the module?
I've determined your death ahead of time.
No die rolls.
No die
rolls.
That's
comforting. Honestly,
just good narrative convention. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a good episode.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I like the idea of like things are getting crazy. The crazy is coming more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ramping up.
Yeah. Well, guys, again, thank you. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. Tell a friend about us. You know, someone who likes a good story, likes to listen to some people bumble some mechanics sometimes, but wants to come hang out with us.
I just double-checked on those pistol stats, and as it turns out, they were totally made up, but I looked against the real one, and I got the right values.
Oh, well, good
now.
For you, man.
So sometimes you just have to make up the
stats.
Well,
excellent. The wrong thing you were doing ended up being the right thing in hindsight. Great.
Well, look, we are fighting a man who was suddenly on fire after getting in the bus.
After getting in the bus.
Who's really making things up,
it's
Joe?
Me. You're right.
Not me.
It's not impossible landscapes. But yeah, tell a friend about us. Give us a good rating, a review on wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening. If you want to get the episodes a week early, you want to get episodes access to the Patreon with our Patreon scoops and stuff,
It's just $3. You support us. You help us to pay our fees and whatnot. And that's really helpful. And we love our wonderful patrons who help us out. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Back at you.
Yeah. For everyone listening, for everyone watching, thank you for joining us. We're so glad to have you for our little adventure. And we will catch you next time. And remember, everyone, as always, in all of our outros, please stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.